The title of today's message is Give God Something to Bless. Give God Something to Bless. All right. Back in October, I was honored, along with my high school teammates. There's a picture of the Bridgewater Raritan Athletic Hall of Fame. That is the 1987 state champions, group three, 29-1, one loss by 1 point at the buzzer. And I love this picture, and this is Sari's idea, because I was like, no, I don't want to share that. But I think it fits kind of with what we're talking about today. You know, we were inducted to the Hall of Fame because this team distinguished itself with teamwork and unity and accomplished something that hadn't been done in almost 30 years. And, you know, it was encouraging being honored as, you know, they played this horn and we walked in and we were just like the center of attention. And it, you know, it made you feel good because you took a place in history, that you were a part of something that made a difference. You know, throughout the Bible, we read about men and women who accomplished great things and overcame obstacles by putting their faith in God. And this morning, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Some call it the chapter of the Hall of Faith. And so I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to have faith in God? I want to, you know, ask you to put that in the chat. In your mind, what does it mean to have faith in God? And again, you can put it in the chat and we'll just kind of keep going here. But, you know, we believe in God and we believe in his promises. To have faith in God, hey, we believe in God. We believe in his promises. We believe God wants what's best for us. And therefore, we trust God. You know, what does it mean to have faith? We don't quit when we face trials. And we even ask God to help us learn what we need to learn. You know, I'm looking at the chat here. It says, trust in him, accepting and relying on God's word and authority in our lives, being certain of what I can't see, total trust, belief without seeing, obeying his word. I would say this in Spanish, but I don't want to mess it up. Fe es creer en lo que no ves. To trust in God. To believe in God and have no doubt. To love and appreciate him, knowing who he is, what he says. Having faith in God to me is that we trust him regardless of how logical or illogical it may feel to follow him. Surrender to him, total dependence. Oh, that's great. Great stuff. You know, living by faith can lead to great blessings. I want us to read here, Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 7. Again, this is the New Standard Version. It says, by faith, Noah, when being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, who when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going. I'm sorry, but that's the struggle right there for me. I got to know where I'm going. We can't just be driving around, you know. It's like verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore, there was born even of one man, and he, as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Skip down to verse 29. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. You know, when you read these passages, and I encourage you, maybe you haven't read the Bible before, if you go to this chapter and you look at some of these names and you go back to the Old Testament, you can read the stories in detail to really get a greater appreciation for what we're talking about here. But look at what great, incredible things were accomplished by the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 because of their faith in God. Think about it. Noah saved his family. Abraham became the father of nations. The Israelites escaped from the Egyptians. People defeated powerful enemies, avoiding this one. Think about that. Avoided being eaten by lions and escaped from flames. You know, one thing I want to reiterate here, a lot of the rewards came after the test of faith. A lot of the rewards came after the test of faith. You know, think about Noah likely was ridiculed for building this incredible vessel and there was no water in sight. He undertook a task that was unbelievable, but the man never stopped building. Abraham, think about it. He relied on God's promises when he had no evidence, no clue of how it would turn out. But he believed, and believing that an older couple, they were old, 199, come on, an old couple could do what God said would be very difficult. And it took some time for God's promise to come true. But the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Daniel survived when it appeared certain that he would be eaten by lions. See, deciding to live by faith will bring challenges into our lives. Some could be serious, some not so serious. But when you decide to live by faith, it will bring challenges into your life. Let's skip down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 and 38. Look at what it says here. It says, and others experienced mockings and scourging. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goats skins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. You know, does having more faith mean fewer challenges? No. But you know what it does? You're going to be better prepared when they come knocking on your door. Because facing challenges is easier when you know that one thing, that I have God's favor, that God is with me. This morning, I've asked Nicole Bennett and another sister to share with us this morning. And Nicole's going to share one of the challenges that she's faced in her life. So let's give our sister our attention.
Hi, guys. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Russ, for asking me to share. It's indeed humbling, but exciting to just share the love and power of my God, our God. So as some of you know, I've been on this healing journey. It's going on 4 years now from a diagnosis of breast cancer. And prayers and scriptures have been my closest friends while running this race. So many of you have prayed and are still praying, and I'm so grateful. Words cannot express my gratitude in just you praying and even reaching out to see how I'm doing. And Proverbs 3:5 is one of the scriptures I've held very close. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, or all my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. So to share one of my stops on this race, it's with the PET scan results that I went in the middle of the year, in the summertime. And of course, before the PET scan results, I prayed. I was like, God, whatever the report says, I'm trusting in you because my faith is in you. So I got in front of the doctor's office, in front of the doctor, and she looked at the computer screen. She looked at me and she shook her head and she says, not the results I was expecting. And she shared that the cancer had now gone to my left hip, my right ribs, my spine, and my shoulder. And I didn't flinch because I'd already come in with the mindset that I am standing with God. Mm-hmm. So, we talked about what the next steps could be. I left there and I prayed. As in Isaiah, it says, God says, come and reason with me. So I reasoned with God. I said, God, I can't praise you when I'm dead. I know you have works prepared in advance that only I can do. So I need you to show up and show out. I need you to do the impossible. So there are several nights, and just in one in particular, there were 3 nights straight I didn't sleep because of pain in my bone. There were no positions I could turn to be comfortable. So I prayed. I prayed, I recalled scriptures, and I cried. And I just remember just pouring my heart out to God. But I would get up every morning and I would go to work. Well, I'm working from home, so in my living room, and I would still be in studies and I would go about my day because I know that God is the healer. And because of that, I wasn't gonna give in to pet self-pity. I wasn't gonna give Satan the opportunity to sneak in his lies and make me doubt and fear. I believe God in his healing. So I was going to live like it. So to cut the long story short, October 28th, that just passed, my 53rd birthday, I went in for another follow-up visit. And the doctor shared that there are two cancer markers that the doctor were watching for my case. And one of them was back in normal range. Mm. All my organs are cleared and my bones are healing. Mm. And other cancer marker is low, it's almost there. So I'm not out of the woods yet, so please continue to pray. But I just know that God is my healer. So for me, I'm grateful for all the healing tools but I know that God is the one that healed me. I am grateful because he's a great physician. He's a great I am. And one of the scripture, another scripture I hold fast to was Hebrews 10, where it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So guys, no matter what the race you're running, no matter how bleak, no matter how much tears you may have to shed, stay hopeful. Because another scripture that I hold fast to, Romans 5, rejoice in your sufferings. Suffering produces perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us. Our God is hope, and he doesn't disappoint us. So thank you so much, guys, for allowing me to share.
Wow. What do you say? You know, I've heard Nicole share that before, and I thought, that is real faith. That's not talking. That is going through it and continuing to hold on. And sister, you are, you're writing a chapter for that Hall of Faith, which is so encouraging. You know, let's go back to our text, verse 39 for a minute. Let's read this. It says, in the NIV version, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Even though God commended these people for their faith, the full benefit of their actions were not evident at the time. See, the benefits of faithful obedience may not be clear for a long time. They didn't get what was promised to them. And it's something that is really commendable, because in their mind, this is what God's going to do, because this is what he said. But again, it's going to come at a later time. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And look at what he says here. And we know this passage, we've heard it. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It is impossible to please God without believing he exists and believing he will reward you if you earnestly seek him. So let me ask you, what's more difficult, to believe God exists or believe God will be good to you if you devote yourself to having a relationship with him? See, for some of us, believing God exists is too much to ask, and it's a mute point. You know, just believing that God exists, that sets you apart from the crowd. But seeking God requires more than just believing that God exists. Your faith will motivate you to do things that the crowd will believe is foolish. See, if I'm seeking to know God and have faith in him in my life, relying on his promises is a daily pursuit. Otherwise, what God asks us in his word will seem like too much to expect. And see, brothers and sisters, we have to continue to work on our faith. You know, just because we're faithful now doesn't mean we're going to always be faithful. We have to continue to keep growing closer to him. And see, the temptation sometimes to turn back in tough times is really real. I know some of us are going through tough times right now. I mean, we're all going through challenges. But I want to encourage us to not turn back, but to turn to him, to go closer to him, to pray more, because faith helps us to finish our spiritual race. Faith helps us to finish our spiritual race. I want you to skip down to verse 13, Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. It says, and these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country for which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All these heroes in that chapter of faith had opportunities to turn back, but they kept faithfully obeying God. And see, when we lack faith, challenges can cause us to turn back. And at this time, I'm going to ask our sister Nelly Yarrett if she could share, because she's quite familiar with challenges. And so turn it over to Nelly.
Hi, thanks Ross for letting me share. I'm Nelly, and I grew up in a loving family, but it all changed when I became a Christian. At the time, I was a young college student and still lived at home right here in New Jersey. My family saw my commitment to God and to the church, and they were scared. They tried to stop me and talk me out of it, but they couldn't sway me. So every time I came home from church, Bible talk, or other church events, I was beaten. One day, I was locked in my room so I couldn't go to church. But I managed to get out and run to my car and made it to church. My mother thought I was brainwashed. And as a parent, I can understand why she thought that. She told me that she was going to get a gun and go after Debbie and Sheridan Wright, who were my region leaders at the time. Those were frightening and challenging times. My mom didn't get the gun after all, thank goodness. And years later, I ended up going to Lebanon on a mission team. While I was there, my mom started studying the Bible. Thank you, God. And one day she called me to tell me that she got baptized. She cried and apologized for all the ways she treated me. She asked for my forgiveness. She said she didn't understand what she was doing, and she was so sorry for all that she had done and the pain she caused me. Soon after that, she called me one day and said, guess where I am today? She said, I was at Debbie and Sheridan's house praying and holding hands with them. Only with God. When I moved back to Jersey, it was a joy to be with her and take care of her during her health challenges until she passed to be with the Lord. You see, I had decided when I became a Christian that I could not compromise my faith, and I would not compromise my faith, even when things were hard. Because if I did, not only would I not make it to heaven, but my family would never, ever have a chance to make it either. So I persevered and held on to what the Bible said was true, no matter how tough things got. Because I knew that God can be trusted and that he would come through with his promises if I didn't give up. That's my story, and that's my mom's story. Thank you for listening.
I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans 1. That, you know, when I heard Nelly share this story, I said, you got to share this with the church. It's so just fitting biblically. But, you know, she said something that I think is indicative. When someone makes Jesus Lord of their lives, we sing this song, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. And had she turned back, maybe her mom would have became a Christian some other way or whatnot, but it wouldn't have been the catalyst to help her to see what is it that my daughter is believing and into. And so, brothers and sisters, think about this for a minute. What does it mean to believe God will reward us if we seek to know him? See, I think sometimes we want things, but we don't want God. We want the blessings, but we got to be reminded where they come from. They come from him. In Hebrews 11:8, Abraham, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. See, what shows us that Abraham believed that having the favor of God was reason enough to do whatever God called him to do? Here's a man that's 70 years old. He was established. He gave up security. He gave up comfort of staying where he was. And he obeyed the voice of God and went somewhere he knew nothing about. And he let God change his plans and redirect his life. You know, some of us are studying the Bible, and that is awesome. And I want to encourage you, keep studying, but it's more important as you study that you simply obey what God says. You know, husbands, obey his word to you. Wives, obey his word to you. Single adults, obey his word to you. Teenagers, college students, obey his word to you. When we understand the kind of faith that pleases God, that it's a lot of times really simple, but it's an issue of, am I going to obey what he says to me? You know, when we have faith in the favor of God and his goodness, then we act on that faith. And when we act on that faith, that is so pleasing to our Father. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it says, in the NIV, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. See, when we obey God because of our faith, we are able to please him. And to please God, let's be real. We have to put some things on the line. In other words, it's going to cost us something to obey God. What might it cost you to obey God? You know, man, people may say things about you or even oppose you. You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, especially at home, I don't like to necessarily tell people what I do, because as soon as they find out that I'm a minister, they start acting weird. And then they, they sit up a little, and I'm like, just be who you are. You were just cussing 5 minutes ago. Don't act like that now. But sometimes I can feel insecure about telling people what I do because, okay, the minister's in the room. Now we got to act. I'm like, look, I'm just like you. I just understand something that calls me to say, no, we're not going down that route. What might it cost you? You know, it might cause you to give up something that you like to do. You know, that might be a cost. It might cost you needing to change something in your character. In some situations, it may even call you to choose some new friends. You know, I know we have teenagers and campus students here. Hey, some people are not good for your spiritual well-being. And you may need to stop hanging around those friends. Not that you're better or whatever, but the point is the personal cost of obedience. It's going to cost us something sometimes when we obey God. And here's the thing. Your relationship with God is more important than anything else in this world. This world has nothing to offer you more than what God has to offer you. And see, if we put it off and think, well, you know, it'll get easier for me to obey maybe when I'm a little older. No. Waiting until things are going great, waiting until things are better and everything's in place will not make it easy to obey. In fact, I think it'll make it even harder. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Some things may not get better in your life until you start obeying what God says. Some things may not go better for you until you start obeying our God. I want to land this plane here and just share a couple takeaways from this lesson. Number one, faith and obedience are necessary, are essential in our relationship with God. You can't get around that if you understand what real faith is. Secondly, we can't claim to have faith without being obedient to God. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Noah. It didn't work that way for Abraham. It didn't work that way for Rahab. It didn't work that way for Daniel. It didn't work that way for Nicole. It didn't work that way for Nellie. No. They're connected. And I want to encourage us to really take a look at our life. Amen. Is my faith in obedience, is it together? Is it working? Now, I know we have our men's midweek coming up this Wednesday night. Brothers, I want to give you some homework, okay? It's called the Hall of Faith Testimony. I want to encourage you to write a one-page, two-paragraph, three-paragraph paper and answer these questions. How has putting your faith in God and obeying his word changed your life? What has it cost you? And how has it benefited you? Now, I'm not saying that this is not for the ladies. I know the sisters got a midweek plan, but what I would love for us to do is have our own Hebrews 11 chapter in the Garden State Church. Just like Nicole and Nellie kind of shared their testimony. Man, let's share what God's done, because God has done amazing things in our lives. And some of us, we don't even know the stories. We have no clue who we're even sitting next to. And I really believe that God has an incredible, incredible plan to help us build our faith and take it higher in our walk with him. You know, maybe you're not a Christian and you want to participate. I want you to think about, what story do you want to tell about your life? What would you want people to say about you and your relationship with God? Well, you know, man, please decide to join us. Decide, hey, I want to have that story like Noah or Abraham or Rahab. You know, Satan wins when you and I settle for partial obedience or fall for his suggestion that our lack of obedience is justified. Well, if that person didn't do that, then I wouldn't, you know, and we go down that path of partial obedience. He also wins if we put off obeying because we think we are just not up to the challenge. Well, let me just again reiterate, we're never up for the challenge. We're always kind of over our head. That is why obedience and faith are connected. It's at those times that we realize how important it is that we obey God and give him a chance to build our faith. Remember that God values obedience even more than the sacrifices we make. And see, sometimes we can think that we're more faithful than we actually are. And this is true. If we kind of have this legalistic kind of mindset and hold this high standard to obedience, you know what it can do sometimes? It can mask a low standard of faith. Because I'm doing all of the right things. And we can tend to think that our relationship with God primarily in terms of doing the right things, rather than in terms of being faithful. Being faithful. You know, these men and women that we talked about today put their faith in God's promises and obeyed, even when they could not see how it would all turn out. Let's imitate what we've seen in the scriptures. Let's imitate what we see around us and be inspired by those men and women of faith. Their obedience gave God something to bless, and he will do the same for you and I. We're going to have a closing song and be inspired by this song, We've Come This Far by Faith. Thank you.